Hey everybody, this is DJ Duncan. Sorry for that quick mishap, had a little bit of technical errors, but this is On the Bounce, 4 p.m. Tuesdays. Thanks for joining us. We've been having some great shows so far. Very excited for this show. As I just previously said, October 25th, it's coming. It is coming. NBA preseason is going to be over. Real games will have been started. And it's an action-packed season we have ahead of us. Today on this show, we are going to be talking about big news for the Cleveland Cavaliers signing J.R. Smith. Steve Kerr, kind of switching up things with the Warriors' plans. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit. The WNBA Finals in the midst. It is going crazy right now. Maya Moore, if you didn't notice, had a great game the other night. And it's come down to the last game. Just like Game 7 in the NBA, WNBA Game 5. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the Bulls and the Bucks deal, a little bit of a gossip around the league going on between Michael Carter-Williams and Tony Snell. Also, GM rankings have just been released, so we're going to be analyzing all of those good factors. Also going to be talking about how the NBA.com ranked the point guards in the league. As we know, the point guard is a tough position right now, really deep all throughout the league. Going to be great to see how they kind of portrayed the top guys, middle guys, and the lower guys. Also, we're going to be talking about how Atlanta is starting to make a name for himself on defense. You know, we never know. Losing Al Horford, could that help them? Bringing in Dwight Howard, you don't know. We're going to be getting down to the facts of that. So it's action-packed, like I said, today here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm glad for you guys to join us. I'm excited. Let's get it started. J.R. Smith. Whew. As you previous fans know, I am a big Cleveland Cavalier fan, and I am hyped. I am hyped. Finally, took us all of preseason, almost all of preseason, all of the training camp. Why? Why couldn't we land this guy? Even LeBron was getting pissed off. LeBron was, come on, we need to. I hate coming to another season like this. Last year, we had problems with signing Tristan Thompson. Wasn't able to make the training camp. It just gets us off to a slower start, and we don't need that. LeBron, I hate coming into another season 2 years in a row with one of my big guns not here. So for a leader of a team and for me personally, I just hate to deal with this again. It's too big of a piece for our team to have to deal with within another training camp. Hopefully things get resolved fast because you know how big and important he is to our team. This is LeBron James speaking on J.R. Smith. Kind of taking shots at Cleveland Cavalier management. You know, he wasn't too happy with this, taking for a while, kind of dragging it on the process. It was kind of back and forth. But then LeBron came out with this statement saying, he's done everything he has. You know, we're waiting on you, Cleveland. And it was heard, and what the king's going to get. And J.R. Smith just signed a deal, 4 years, $57 million. We're going to listen to him announcing. He announced his coming back and signing to the Cleveland Cavaliers on LeBron James' uninterrupted platform. So let's listen to what J.R. Smith had to say for himself.
It's the Smith family. We are extremely happy and proud to say that we have agreed to terms to come back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a.k.a. the champs, a.k.a. my brothers. It's been a long road. I appreciate everybody sticking out with, through this rough patch of time. I know the holdout and everything else has been long and tedious for everybody, but it's extremely huge for us. We're happy to be a part of the Cleveland family and, just want to take it one day at a time. So fortunately, we've got unbelievable people behind us. Clutch Sports has been unbelievable. My teammates have been unbelievably supportive, and we just wanted to thank y'all, man. So thank you. We appreciate it. Oh yeah, and one more surprise. We're having another baby.
big news for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Came out himself saying that. It was good to hear personally. LeBron James tweeted, so damn happy for my little bro. Well deserved. Good things happen to good people. I can't express how happy I am for you, brother. Great news. Cleveland Cavaliers open up against the New York Knicks on October 25th. Like I said, big week coming up. A lot of NBA teams are getting ready. This was a special deal for J.R. Smith in a sense, because he's been kind of a bounce around factor in the league, going from team to team, New York Knicks, Denver Nuggets, coming to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Wasn't really a guy that every team wanted on their team. He was someone who wasn't very consistent, wasn't very coachable, as you could say. George Karl, one of the great coaches, said that J.R. Smith basically used to disrespect him in front of him on the court, saying he would not listen to the plays and just kind of shoot the ball on himself. So this is a very, very big deal. As like I said, you know, $57 million, 4 years, 3 years guaranteed, but $57 million for 4 years is a chunky deal, especially with the NBA raising their prices on players and, you know, their packages of what they're signing and signing bonuses and everything. So this is very good for J.R. Smith. He came in the league being a 18th number, first round. Definitely, but I want to say from 15 to 20, I want to say 18th pick in the first round of the NBA. And it was hard for him coming into the league. I've heard stories of his father, him living with his father, and his father not letting him out past a certain curfew, being strict with him, giving him advice on which cars to buy. So it was really neat to see J.R. Smith land this deal, because it's something special to him. No teams have really showed him love like the Cleveland Cavaliers yet. You know, Denver was very good fan base, showed him love, but still, the amount of money, the amount of respect Cleveland has showed him, it's somewhere great. And somewhere right now, J.R. Smith is celebrating with his shirt off right now, as he did 3 days after he won the championship. So that's great news. Great news for us Cleveland fans. Coming at you, Warriors. Coming strong. On to the next topic. Warriors. Steve Kerr has some plans for you guys. He's came out and said that the Warriors are going to kind of change the way that they're approaching the game, and they're going to do a little bit of experimenting. Is this good for you Warrior fans? It could and could not be. First of all, the Warriors did everything in their power to break the record of the regular season last year. Didn't really give Curry any rest time. Didn't really give Draymond Green any rest time. All the players were talking about how they are focused on winning this record and being the champions. Well, they might have focused on the record a little bit too much. As you can see, they fell short to the Cleveland Cavs in a 7-game series, and Kerr said that they kind of been over that sense of being the regular season champions. And last year they felt that they could do both, win the regular season, win the championship, and they were pretty close. However, they couldn't pull it off. So this year is just going to be more about growing and getting better and experimenting for the first couple months. Experimenting, what do you mean by that? Well, I think he means just different lineups, different rotation, you know, having KD at the 3, having KD at the 4. They're going to struggle with rebounding. They're definitely going to struggle with rebounding, having a lack of bigs and a bunch of jump shooters. But this is good for them to experiment early and not later down the line in the finals when they face the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, Steve Kerr said this is kind of similar to the Bulls plan when he was playing with MJ, and all the fans remember is Michael Jordan hitting the game-winning shot over Byron Russell in the 1998 NBA Finals. Well, Kerr remembers different. He remembers the build-up. He remembers the difficulties. He remembers Scottie Pippen fighting through a back injury, the Bulls falling behind double digits, and facing a potential Game 7. So he remembers that. He said to himself, "We were running on fumes." You know, and I think, he says, I think the toll was over several years. That's one of the reasons I think this year we're going to have to pace ourselves somewhat. But we're also better off having the new blood and new life, because I think it will give it that boost. It doesn't guarantee that we're going to be better, but it changes the dynamic a little bit. I think it'll make changes a little fresher and make it maybe a little easier for us to get through the regular season and get through that grind. So, the Bulls team, first of all, 1998 three-peated. So Warriors haven't even back-to-back because they ran into the Cavs, obviously. But they haven't even two-peated, and they're talking about doing something of a strategy like Michael Jordan did in the 1998 finals. I kind of got to disagree with Kerr on this one. You know, you have to go out and try to win every single game. If one of your teammates or one of your players need rest, give them rest. Yeah, give them a game, give them a road trip, if even three-game road trip, to rest their knees, rest their bodies, get a little bit back focused, you know, and have that end goal mindset. So it was weird to hear Kerr say, I'm comparing it to the 98 Bulls when, you know, they don't have a player like Michael Jordan. They have a shooter like Steve Kerr in all three of their four corners of the basketball court, where Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, you know, so they definitely have somewhat of the same team. Not necessarily, but Kerr's trying to relate to them, to the Chicago team way too much. And he even said the toll was more emotional than anything. And I agree with him there because they were mentally fatigued. We saw Curry get injured within game, I think it was game two, round two of the playoffs against the Houston Rockets. Kind of shook him off. Even Curry himself said, you know, he wasn't his full health, kind of giving a little bit of an excuse, in my opinion, of why they didn't win the championship. A regular season record of 73 wins was the reason why they were physically fatigued that cost the Warriors the finals. Ah, that's tough, you know, because every team has went through the regular season. 16 teams go through the playoffs, and there's no excuses once you get to the playoffs. It's either win or go home, like TNT says. This whole, the more emotional, your fatigue. I don't care. LeBron James has gone to the finals 6 years in a row, and that's one of the greatest accomplishments of all time. You know, how many guys went to the finals 6 years in a row? You know, maybe Bill Russell or Michael didn't do that, but, you know, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, no one did that. Six is incredible. Six is mentally fatigued. Talk about being mentally fatigued. He's played six seasons in a row and went to the championship every single year. So maybe the Warriors need to switch their focus a little bit. You know, I'm not really sure what to, because can't really focus on off-season training because the off-season's over. But I agree with Kerr in saying they have to switch up. They have to experiment with the lineup they have, putting KD at the 2 position, putting KD at the 4 position, even running Draymond Green at a center. That's a small lineup with Draymond Green at the center, by the way. Don't know how they're going to rebound there. But just different positions, you know, having KD coming off a pick and roll with Draymond Green at the top of the key with Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry in the corners, you know, that's hard to guard right there. So they're definitely going to do some experimenting. They need to. But I don't want to hear no excuses on mental fatigue, and we were trying so hard for the regular season that kind of made us not want the championship, in a sense, is what they're kind of getting at, am I hearing? But it's just like, I don't know, it's a tricky issue because they did something no team has ever done before. 73 wins. No one's done it since Michael. But to get a ring with that is definitely an accomplishment. Now, Charles Barkley had some words on this. And this is Barkley's mind. You know, Barkley is a very outspoken person, loves to be the center of attention. But he says this: can they rebound the ball? They are still going to be jump shooters. They're not going to get any low post scoring. Can that type of play hold on up through the rigors of the NBA playoffs? I'm still going to say the same thing I've always said: no. So, blowing a 3-1 lead in the finals, then Golden State signs Durant, former NBA MVP before Steph Curry, I think that's why they were given, you know, the sense of that they're going to win this championship for sure, only because they signed Kevin Durant. However, they still lost a good amount of people. They didn't really return all their guys that came off the bench last year that gave them so much fire. Marcus Spates. I don't know if Leandro Barbosa is back or not, but the only really key guys that they have coming off the bench is Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. How many years can Andre Iguodala still give you? You know, this is still a question in mind. And, you know, the Barkley said he picked the Cavs last year to win it because they were healthy. The year before, we all know the Cavs played the Warriors, and the Warriors beat them, I believe, in a five-game series. But the Cavs weren't healthy. They didn't have Kevin Love, injured all throughout the playoffs. They didn't have Kyrie Irving, injured game one. So when Charles Barkley was saying they couldn't win the championship with a small ball team and with every other team in the NBA not being really healthy, he meant it, and he made himself clear. He says that Cleveland may win again. He hasn't came out with his official choice of Charles Barkley who's going to win. But Barkley is also a Hall of Fame player who never won a championship. And although he was disappointed that Durant left OKC, as he was when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, he says the title won't mean as much to Durant as it would in OKC. And I completely agree with him there. Kevin Durant kind of took the easy route out, you know, and that may still have a flawed team with Kevin Durant. Even so, bringing two MVPs back-to-back, you never know if they have a guarantee of winning the championship, because they don't, in a sense. And Kevin Durant actually came out. This is very controversial. This is where it gets pretty heady. Kevin Durant sparks a little bit of fire. He was asked on the Warriors preseason, asked on the training camp, how he's liking it, how are you liking the facilities, how are guys treating you, how's the team looking? And he was just like, you know, it's great. I'm actually having fun with playing basketball again, playing with all these guys, learning with all these guys that are selfless players. Note that, selfless players. It's great environment to work in. Now, this was given to Russell Westbrook, which we all know Russell, kind of the same crazy mind like Charles Barkley himself. Russell Westbrook's not going to want to hear something like this. He already stated how he learned of the KD trade, just like everyone else, you know, on Twitter. Didn't hear a phone call, didn't hear nothing from KD. So he was a little bit upset when KD left. I mean, I would too. You know, you guys are both two dynamic duos on the same team for 7+. I think this is KD's 10th year in the league, so them being together definitely 6-7 years plus. And then playing with him beside you the whole time, and you guys are killing, for him to just leave and then go to another team and say, you know, I'm having fun again. You know, what are you kind of getting at, KD? And Russell Westbrook was asked of this. He says, I don't care. He says that twice, and then he was he responded like, I'm just going to have to worry about these selfless players over here, talking about OKC and the training camp that they have there. So this is going to be good. This is going to be good for us fans. We're going to see OKC and the Warriors butting heads. Now, OKC, we know, lost some firepower with Durant. They picked up Victor Oladipo, but it's still going to be a good game when the two teams do play each other. Excuse me. And It's going to be great to go see those guys go head-to-head. It's going to be definitely two kind of villains going at each other, you know. And I think KD was in the wrong for saying some of these things. He shouldn't have said what he said in selfless players. That was kind of not smart of him. And also saying he's going to have fun again, like you weren't having fun in OKC with all those thousands and thousands of fans cheering for you. OKC with one of the greatest environments to play basketball in, you weren't having fun there? Like, come on, dude. You got to be more smart than that, especially talking about former teammates that you potentially could share a friendship over, you know, and ask for them for advice and be a friend down the line. It just wasn't a smart play in Durant's book, in my opinion, and he should have took it somewhere else. You know, definitely with those comments, shouldn't have said that to the media like that. Should have just kept it low-key, talked to squash the beef with Russell. Now Russell's going to be coming for him. And KD and the Warriors, I would be a little worried with Russell Westbrook coming for you. So those are two topics we're going to cover today. Coming up, we got the WNBA Finals, Bulls and Bucks deal, GM ratings, how everybody's doing. Great show for here today. Glad you guys can join me. Once again, this is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We're going to take this quick, short commercial break, and we will be right back. Thank you guys for taking that quick commercial break. Right now, On the Bounce with DJ Duncan, Tuesdays 4 to 5, we're going to give a quick little shout out to our fellow DJs that are on the air throughout the week. Now, every show, you know, I go through a little special shout out of who's on, who's talking about what. Last week, we talked about the Wednesday shows. Now, we're going to talk about the Thursday shows. Real quick and simple, if you're not doing anything on your Thursday afternoon, listen by on Thursdays from 2 to 3 to DJ Powers, talking about Between the Panels, all things comic related. Then we have from 5 to 6 p.m. DJ Fizz with the show What's Poppin'. Those are our Thursday shows. Tune in next week to find out our Friday times, or just go to radio.dominican.edu and search your favorite DJ, DJ Duncan, and the student show times, when they're going to be going, and when you can listen. So our next topic here, WNBA Finals. It's getting heated, y'all. It's getting heated. It's going good. Kobe Bean Bryant was at the previous game in L.A. and says it was a good one to watch. Now, let's go through a little recap of, of the first final games. First game was a nail biter. The Los Angeles Sparks barely squeaked it out, winning 78-76 versus the Minnesota Lynx. Second game, game two, Minnesota Lynx came back with some fire. They blew Los Angeles out 79-60. Maya Moore went off. In game three, Los Angeles Sparks regained the flow. Regained their conscience and actually gave them a little bit of a beating, winning 92-75. And yesterday, which was a crazy game four, 2 days ago, which was a crazy game four, Minnesota squeaked it out 85-79. Within the last minute, it was 79-79, and then Maya Moore hit a bank shot off of the glass to give them the lead, and then they had a foul and the Minnesota Lynx iced their free throws going to game five. Now game five will be at Minnesota on October 20th, 8 p.m. A little bit of a recap of game four. Maya Moore went bananas. 31 points off of 9-for-17 shooting, 11-for-12 from the line, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, she saved Minnesota's season. And we talked about it before of the MVP kind of candidates of the WNBA, and I said she was one of my favorites. She was one of my favorites. I believe the power forward for Los Angeles Sparks did, in fact, win the regular season MVP. Can't really think of her name right now off the top of my head. But Maya Moore was my favorite pick going into the, you know, after season playoffs, and who I was kind of thinking of who was going to win it. So I kind of stand. Hopefully she gets the MVP of the finals, which will kind of give me some leeway of that I know what I'm talking about maybe. So she's basically killing of the Lynx. So far she's averaging 19.3 points, 4.2 assists, and she's leading the team in both of those categories. Sylvia Foles, big rebounder, is averaging 8.5 rebounds for the Minnesota Lynx. Those are the team leaders. Maya Moore, definitely a key contributor in the games. Now, Candace Parker is averaging 4.9 assists for the Los Angeles Sparks, and she's been having a solid appearance for herself the last couple of games as well. You know, we don't really hear about the WNBA too much, but Candace Parker is a big name center for the WNBA, and she's been holding her own in this past playoffs too as well. So now on to our next topic. We're going to be talking about a little bit of a gossip around the NBA right now, that the Bulls and the Bucks are trying to get a little deal going on here. You know, what do we have here? We have the Bulls with Tony Snell, and we have the Bucks with Michael Carter-Williams. Two completely different positions. Now, both of these guys, Tony Snell has been kind of compared to a Kawhi Leonard, kind of a bougie version of Kawhi Leonard, basically. Got comparisons because they went to the same high school, kind of the same length, plays somewhat similar positions, but kind of been compared to him almost his whole life after he went to high school with Kawhi Leonard. Fun fact, that high school is King High School in Riverside. That's also right near my high school, so that was kind of cool. But they went to high school together, and he's kind of always been compared to him afterwards, and it hasn't been doing good for Tony Snell. He came in the league, had a solid rookie season, definitely for the Bulls. Shaved his head, and it went downhill from there. Was that the reason from shaving his head? I don't know. It might have given bad luck. You never know if it gives you bad luck if you shave your head. That's why I'm growing my hair forever. It's almost down to my elbows. But don't shave your head when you're in the middle of the preseason, or in the middle of the season. Ask Tony Snell. His career has been going on the downhill lately. Hasn't been really receiving playing time. Haven't really been receiving a lot of attention from other teams. So who kind of gets the better end of the deal? You know, not really Snell nor Carter Williams has performed as expected. We know Michael Carter Williams, NCW, was a very, very good guard for the Bucks two seasons ago. Two seasons ago, he was killing, averaging triple-double numbers, I believe, within the first 10 games of the season. And teams just kind of caught on to his game, played him the right way, scouted him the right way. And he's falling a little bit downhill. You know, it's not looking too good for him. He was a great point guard for the Bucks two seasons ago, and I don't know if it's just teams scouting him well, if it's just, you know, his mindset, if he's not getting in the gym anymore. It's just hard to see. Both of them have to have their are due for contract extensions by October 31st. So that's what kind of makes this trade a little bit more up and at them, kind of wanting to do it instead of just hitting the snooze button, trying to keep them in the back of your lineup. And just in case you need them, you bring them out. But it's kind of a boof deal for both teams. Why go after another player that's doing bad? Why trade your player that's doing bad? Get something good out of him. Don't switch bad for bad. It's not gonna work. It's proven that hasn't worked in the past in the NBA. So my advice to the Bulls and the Bucks: don't do it. Stick with your initial players. Give them a contract extension if you have to. Don't pay the max amount. Pay the least amount you can. They haven't performed to their abilities. Why give them a check for something they haven't done? You know, definitely my opinion. They got to get in the gym, you know. So that's kind of my two cents on that deal. Don't really want to see it happen. Kind of, eh. Just don't do it, Bucks. It's going to be bad for both of your teams. So what we have next is the GM predictions. Big news here. GMs every year, excuse me, voice has been a little raspy today. GMs responded to 48 different questions about the best teams, players, coaches, fans, and off-season moves. General managers were not permitted to vote for their own teams or personnel, so they had to vote for someone else besides themselves. And it basically gives a whole the league of what the GMs are thinking. Now, I think this is a bad idea because each year, in fact, almost every general manager last year thought that the Cavs and Warriors were going to play for the championship. And this year, they think the same. Why? It's your team. I'm just looking at it at like a New York Knicks standpoint or a San Antonio Spurs standpoint. Yeah, you have to vote for someone else, but it just makes your team look bad. Especially, like, think about being the Sacramento Kings, seeing, oh, every single GM, including your own, is probably voting for the Cavs and the Warriors. Like, you don't want to hear that stuff at all. You don't. As a player, that's something that can get in your head mentally, that can mess you up. If you're not mentally strong, if you don't have that wits about you, could definitely rattle your brain a little bit. And for hearing the GMs just making these kind of predictions of who's going to win the championship, who's the best player, it's just taken away from your own team, taken away from the chemistry. I don't like the idea of this, but we're going to talk about it. Who will win the 2017 NBA Finals? 69% of the GMs in the NBA said that Golden State will win. Number two is Cleveland, who has 31%. Last year, it was Cleveland at 53%. So they predicted Cleveland winning the championship, and they were right, 50% of them, however. So they both ranked the top nine teams. We know the top eight teams both make it into the playoffs. But for the Eastern Conference, they have Cleveland at number one, Toronto at number two, Boston at number three, Indiana at number four, Detroit, surprise, surprise, at number five, Atlanta at number six, Charlotte at number seven, Washington Wizards coming in at the AC, and Chicago at number nine. Chicago, you gotta get up there. Two more spots. You could do it. You could do it. You have D-Wade coming back home. Kind of need to get into playoffs this year if you want some revenue coming in for next year. So that was their top nine teams that the GMs picked for the Eastern Conference. Now their top nine teams for the Western Conference goes as follows. Golden State, number one. San Antonio, number two. LA Clippers, number three. OKC, number four. Surprise, surprise. Westbrook coming for you, Golden State. Number five, Portland. Number six, Utah Jazz. Memphis Grizzlies coming in at number seven. Houston at number eight, squeezing. I think Houston's going to be way higher than that, personally. Number nine, we have Dallas. Western Conference is stacked, first of all. I don't know if I see Memphis getting it this year. I really, really don't. You know, last year they kind of predicted the correct order with Warriors 1, San Antonio 2, OKC 3, and Clippers 4, Houston 5, Memphis 6. But Memphis is always a great, great, solid team. But do they have what it takes to get into the playoffs this year? That's going to be a tough tale to tell. I don't see it, to be honest. Personally, I think OKC is going to drop a little bit, maybe be a 5 or 6 seed. Utah is definitely going to make the playoffs. That's a team that you guys need to watch for. Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward definitely going to do some damage this year, in my opinion. So that's who they picked for the top nine teams in the Eastern and in the Western Conference. They also selected who will be the 2016-2017 MVP. Now, 46.7% of them said LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavs will win the MVP this upcoming year. Last year, also, it was LeBron James with 39%, a little bit lower, but we all know that went to Stephen Curry in Golden State. Number two, we have Russell Westbrook, a far drop from LeBron, with 23% compared to LeBron's 46% of him winning the 2016 MVP. Now, at third, we have Steph Curry and James Harden, both tied at 10%. Steph Curry is not going to win the MVP, guys. I'm sorry. For you Warriors fan, he's not going to win the MVP. Why? Because you have four All-Stars on your team. How is he going to get enough shots up? How is he going to average enough when you have Durant averaging 20, Klay Thompson averaging 20, and Draymond Green averaging 15-plus? It's not going to happen for you guys. Steph Curry, Warrior fans, my best advice for you guys is to vote for Stephen Curry to win the Finals MVP, because LeBron will win the Cavs regular season MVP. He does too much. You know, he rebounds, he blocks, he steals, he runs the floor. Didn't even mention scoring, and that's what he does best. So the game's all about. So he's definitely going to make the most impact to the team, because yes, he has Kyrie Irving, yes, he has Kevin Love, but those are not on, Kyrie Irving, yes, okay, he's on the same level as Klay Thompson, even higher, you know, but the Warriors just have an all-star team. They have four Western Conference all-star players on their team. It's crazy to think about that. They had Stephen James tied with 10% of winning the MVP, and Kevin Durant at 5 with 6.7%. It's not going to happen, GMs. Why are we voting for these guys? Paul George came in with 6 at 6 with 3.3%. I think he has a way better chance of Stephen Curry to win the MVP. He has a way better chance to have a breakout season than Stephen Curry does to get the MVP and to earn the MVP. I don't know why they voted for them. I mean, yes, they're one of the best players in the NBA, but you got to think about, you know, realistically speaking, and all other teams and put all the other factors into it. So they said, if you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? Now, this was an interesting question, because number one came up, Karl Anthony Towns from Minnesota. 48% said if they were starting a franchise today, who would be, and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? GMs picked Karl Anthony Towns over Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, everybody in the NBA. They picked this rookie out of Minnesota? Do they see that much potential now? Given the fact, Karl Anthony Towns has been killing the last season. Showed a true stretch four. He's a stretch five, in my opinion. What a true stretch five can do. He puts it on the floor, shoots the three ball, gets in the paint, block shots. So that, it's not surprising, but to take over a Kevin Durant, LeBron James, who are already fully developed, maybe they see more potential in Karl Anthony Towns, and that's why they chose that. But that's an interesting statistic that we have here with Karl Anthony Towns getting 48% of they're going to basically take him first pick. Now, last year it was Anthony Davis with 86%, way more than Karl Anthony Towns. But that's because also Anthony Davis was 7-footer who was starting to bring the ball up. You know, you don't see that anywhere besides Ben Simmons and LSU, and that's not even in the league yet. So they also voted on which player forces opposing coaches to make the most adjustments. Now, this is going to help me in my argument that LeBron James is going to win the MVP, because 75% of GMs said that he was the player that they most have to make adjustments for. That's saying something. He passes the ball. He drives the ball. He does it well. He shoots the ball. He shoots the ball kind of well. Okay, he doesn't shoot the ball very well, but he still gets the rack, and he can knock down open jumpers, people. But 75% of these GMs said he was the player to make adjustments with. I think in that sense, he definitely earns the MVP, because all these teams are making adjustments, trying to do things to shake him, trying to double team him, throw triple teams at him, collapse the defense on him. It shows how great of a player LeBron James really is. Now, Stephen Curry came in second with 21.4%, and Draymond Green, surprise, surprise, came in with Golden State for 3.6%. So, a lot of teams aren't really worried about Draymond Green. They're worried about what LeBron James is going to do to you. Definitely something I could use for my argument in that why LeBron James should be the next MVP and will be. So they also voted on which player is likely to have a breakout season in 2016-2017. And the number one pick is Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, with 31% of GMs voting for him. Devin Booker, I want to say, dropped 35, 40 points in the preseason game the other day. He can shoot the ball, people. We saw him at Kentucky and what he could do as a 19-year-old. Now he's a 21-year-old coming into the league. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a spot-up knockdown shooter. Excuse me. He's not going to be a spot-up shooter. He's going to be a shooter in general. Close out on this man. He's going to be good. He's going to be a factor. Teams are going to have to rotate to him. And I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table this year. Now, Karl Anthony Towns came in second with 13.8% of having a breakout season of GMs agree with him. And a surprise with Miles Turner of Indiana. Some people might have seen him working a little bit. You know, he's big guy. He does some things well. And that could be a surprise that we need to be on the lookout for. Now, also, we have D'Angelo Russell coming in fourth place, tied with Andrew Wiggins with 6.9% of GMs voting for him. D'Angelo Russell has had a good offseason in a sense. He played very well in the summer league, showed that he could play with anybody, has been having a good preseason with Julius Randle, getting that chemistry down. And definitely showing that, you know, he could play with some of the top point guards in the league. I don't know of playing in the top point guards in the league. We have one of the most stacked positions, point guards. Definitely they have the most depth of any position in the NBA. So the GMs, this is what kind of brings me to my next topic. NBA.com ranked the top point guards, and so did the GMs, excuse me. Sorry, I got lost in a train of thought. I'm trying to say same thing, but two different things. So the GMs ranked them, and then the NBA.com ranked the top point guards. Now, the GMs ranked Stephen Curry as being the top point guard, of course. You know, MVP, reigning MVP, you got kind of got to vote for him with 63.3%. And a surprising Chris Paul got himself in there with 20%. Now, Chris Paul is a true point guard in what he does. He's not a scoring point guard, not a facilitating point guard. He is a point guard. He will do everything you need a point guard to do. If you need a little bit more from him from something else, then he's going to try to do that. If you need a little less from him from something over here, then he's going to do that. Definitely a true point guard in a sense, which is why I think he was really relatable to GMs, and GMs could see him on their team in kind of any really system of play, he's going to be successful. Now, NBA.com ranked the top point guards, top five point guards of the season next year. They ranked Stephen Curry in the front. They ranked Russell Westbrook at number two, and I agree. 18 triple-doubles last season, beat Magic Johnson out as the best, three-point player with scoring, rebounding, and assists in a while, he's going to be a legitimate threat to make Oscar Robertson's triple-double average for the season. He's physically just empowering when, his athleticism just shows in the open court and he gets out in the lanes. He's going to have a standout season. In my opinion, no, LeBron James is, of course, a runner-up for MVP, but he is a second runner-up compared to LeBron James. Now, they did have Chris Paul in number three, NBA.com, compared to the GMs with having him number two. And he keeps just being this. He's 31 years old. He keeps the same person he is, can get to the rim, hit the outside shot, do everything he can to take over a game, looking to set up teammates first, being a point guard. But, some say that hand injury last spring was a little bit of a setback to the Clippers and kind of the reason why they were a little shaken in the playoffs. I don't like excuses, so I don't believe any of this nonsense. But that's what people are saying. And, you gotta hear people out sometimes. And I just don't think Chris Paul has what it takes to be a top five point guard in the league. Yeah, I said it, guys. I said it. Chris Paul does not have what it takes to be a top five point guard in the league. You have so many other players in this position right now. Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, Damian Lillard, all really Kyle Lowry, Mike Conley, Kemba Walker, who was killing guys last year. It's tough. So they have NBA.com has Kyrie Irving at number four and John Wall at number five. Now, the GMs ranked Russell Westbrook number three and Kyrie Irving number four. So, similar rankings. Chris Paul and Westbrook kind of just flipped. I think Kyrie Irving deserves a little bit more respect, with after gaming Game 7 and hitting the biggest shot of his career. He needs to be number three, definitely before Chris Paul. I think he has the most handle in the league compared to everybody else. Definitely the most tight with his handles. Maybe not a little bit as flashy as Steph, but definitely just as tight with his handle, just as capable of finishing. He definitely deserves a little bit more respect. Now, for the shooting guard, the GMs ranked who they think the best shooting guard in the NBA was. And last year it was James Harden with 79%. And he reigns that title, keeping in with a little bit lower. Wonder why. 56% compared to last year's 79%. Now, in my opinion, I think it's because you have number two, Klay Thompson, knocking at your door. Hey, James Harden, I'm Klay Thompson here, ready to take your spot. He came in with 40% of the votes of the GMs, and he's going to be a menace this year with Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Stephen Curry. In my opinion, Klay Thompson is my favorite Warrior. I'm not really a fan of the Warriors just because of all the kind of little bandwagon fans they do have around the Northern California area, and I am from Southern California, so it's a little bit of a it might be a little bit of a hate, but I think Klay Thompson, I really like his game. Really a soft-spoken guy. Does what he's told and gets the job done. So I really like Klay Thompson's game. And he's coming for James Harden at the number two spot. And at number three with only 3.3% of GMs thought Dwayne Wade was the best shooting guard. So he came in at number three. So that's a little tough, Dwayne. You gotta pick yourself up there, buddy. So the best small forward, only two players were kind of compared, because it was LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Now, that position really, it does have a lot of in-depth players, you know, with Kawhi Leonard, Chandler Parsons, you know, a lot of good players. But those two guys right there, LeBron and Kevin Durant, just set themselves apart from the other group of folks. So we have who is the best power forward in the NBA, who is going to be the best power forward, the GMs have voted, and Anthony Davis comes in at 29%. Now, it's funny because LeBron James, who is supposed to be a small forward, is also in at number two for the best power forward at 19.4%. He can play all positions, fellas, 1 through 5. You haven't seen anybody like him. You know, he's definitely someone that I love to look up to and watch his game, and it's just fun to see him play any position, really block a shot and then bring the ball down and dunk it. So it's crazy to see that. Now, the best power forward in the NBA, they also had Draymond Green at number 3, LaMarcus Aldridge at number 4, tied with Blake Griffin, and then Kevin Durant coming in at number 6 with Golden State. The best power forward, Draymond Green, he did have a lot of triple-doubles last year and really showed himself. But if I'm picking a power forward for my team, I'm going to kind of want to go with LaMarcus Aldridge over Draymond Green. Draymond Green's a little bit more of a small forward, a little undersized, hustler player. Definitely was going to get guys open. But in my opinion, LaMarcus Aldridge, Anthony Davis, way better picks for your power forward team than someone else. Now, they ranked the best centers in the NBA, or who is going to be the best center, and they had DeAndre Jordan coming in at number 1 with 33%, DeMarcus Cousins coming in at number 2. Now, this is also an argument in itself. Who would you choose for your center if you're starting a team? I'm going to choose DeAndre Jordan as well. I agree with the GMs. He changes the game. He may not have a lot of post moves, but he's going to get up, dunk the ball, block shots, and rebound. And that's what you want your center to do, essentially. So, you know, that was their rankings for the GMs. GMs came out, answered a lot of questions. I typically don't like this for the GMs because, you know, it just gives players to kind of look at something, kind of get in their head. You know, you don't ever know with players really, you know, where their mind is or what they're thinking, or you just see them on the court and kind of who they are as a basketball player sometimes. And for them to just kind of just rank them in the top order, it's tough, you know. I don't agree on it. You got to do it. I agree. It's media related. It's, you know, spotlight purposes, but just keep that to yourselves, GM. So, finishing up our show, we have our last two topics, talking about Atlanta and your favorite Dominican Pings. Right now, Atlanta is kind of getting a name for themselves of being a top defensive team. Do you agree with that, Josh? That's tough. You lost Al Horford. Al Horford was a key guy for you guys that knew your plays, knew your rotations, knew what the coaches expected from. And now you have Dwight Howard. Yes, Dwight Howard is huge. Block shots, rebound, does great things for your team. But he's a little bit of a sissy, and he's a little bit of a wimp, in my opinion. He doesn't really take criticism too hard, too well. Not really criticism. He doesn't take critique too well. Criticism is kind of bad for your game. You know, you're criticizing someone's game. He doesn't take critiquing too well. Let me rephrase that. He doesn't take critiquing too well. He's not a very coachable player. As we've seen in the past, Kobe Bryant has said, you know, he's a kid. He can't take what Kobe says is something he's trying to get better at. He just takes it as, oh, he's trying to tell me this because I'm wrong and I'm a bad basketball player. No, dude, you're a grown man. You got to take that as something that they're trying to get you better as, and kind of take that personally and work on your game yourself. So right now, no, I do not think Atlanta Hawks is a top defensive team. Yes, they need to pride themselves on it because it could be something that they could become good at. with Dwight Howard in the center. But he needs to step up. He definitely needs to step up, and he needs to mature, in my opinion. So, for the last topic, you're going to be talking about our Dominican Pigs. Big news for your Dominican Pigs. Men and basketball teams have begun official practice. Big news, first scrimmage for men's basketball is next Saturday at an undisclosed location, I believe at 10 a.m. But it's going to be a good test for them to see what they can do and how they do it. Definitely want to see, you know, a lot of the little things being done. You know, some of the little things you could do without, because that's obviously something you correct moving forward. But we want to see flashes of good. Definitely very excited. Midnight Mayhem was a very successful. All teams showed out, did their thing, shook their tail feather, and had a great time. So I'm very excited for the upcoming season. Shout out DJ Cheeks and the women's basketball team holding it down. We're on day two of official practice. Day three of official practice today. And we're having a great time. We're excited. We're amped and couldn't be more ready for the senior season itself and having, you know, a great college career finishing up here at Dominican University. So I'm excited. Make sure you stop out, check out our schedule of men's basketball and check out women's basketball when they play too. Definitely fall sports is still going now, so check out the soccer schedule. Volleyball is currently in Hawaii. Good luck to them. Make sure you check up on them. But I'd like to thank you guys for joining me. It's been another great show here on Penguin Radio. Stop in next Tuesday, 4 to 5, not doing anything, and listen to DJ Duncan for On the Bounce. Once again, this is Penguin Radio. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for joining, and I will see you next week.